This whole thing.
This whole thing. We got a little bit. We got a little bit of them. We're almost getting a conversation going. We're going to get Shoney on here.
I'm enjoying this. This is going to be almost a weekly thing where we come in. Shoney comes in for like 3 to 5 seconds, and then poof, like a thief in the night, he's gone.
I want to talk about and it's so fucking crazy because he was talking about being a movie with 50 Cent, fighting Dada 5000, like everything. We're getting juicy shit.
All types of it. All types.
What's up, bro? So
I'm fine.
Hey, so before, bus. So you're gonna be in a movie with 50 Cent. You're also gonna be fighting Dada 5000. All this shit happening. So like going back on like last week, what's going on with you, man?
Well, let's see. I just got cast in a movie with 50 Cent. I don't even know the title of the movie yet. But moving on, Dada 5000 started talking crazy. His people keep calling me, but I still have not gotten an email contract. In between it, I'm working at UFC gym in Lombard, Illinois, making masks. Those are my COVID masks. I'm tired of looking like a ninja, a bandit, or a doctor. So I want to look like something nobody else looked like.
Whatever you tell me, brother.
I made this one for a lady already. This is like a Shang Tsung. That was another.
That's fucking dope, man.
So how do I get a mask?
How do we get a mask?
I've been telling everybody what I've been doing because they are anything from $75 to $100 because I'm laying stones by hand.
Wow.
And I've been telling everybody, Venmo, unless you live next door or within Chicago, well, I will deliver Zelle or Venmo. And then literally, you add wherever you add the shipping, because they're really light. So maybe like an extra $5, I don't know. But essentially, that's what I've been doing between personal treat and avoiding looting and angry people. I did not know this country was so damn angry.
Yeah.
Both sides. My God. I'm fucking like, crazy. Wow. I am glad I've not used any of my 7 black belts on nobody on the bus.
So you're saying for $75, I can buy a mask from the international pimp, from an MMA legend, and the baddest motherfucker in the game, Shoney Carter.
Yes.
And it will be signed.
Jackpot.
It's a signed mask, right?
Yep.
Crazy, man.
Here's something else. I even started I'm always hunting money. So I even started an e-commerce website, Mr. Yep. International Worldwide, for your household minor knickknacks. It's crazy. I'm trying to wake up to new money. I'm trying to figure out how the stock market works. I got a friend of mine. Oh, he's a student. I'm training. Nick Spacek, he's a 2-time world medalist in jiu-jitsu for his MMA debut. I am all over the place. I mean, I just survived a 3-year-old birthday party. My daughter, my 27-year-old daughter, ordered 3 pizzas. 2 walked out of the door with my sons and her. I didn't even eat the third one because the baby mama threw the 3-year-old mama threw most of it away. When I got over there today, $78 for 3 fucking pieces. I'm like,
goddamn.
Right.
Unbelievable, man.
Unbelievable.
What was the website name?
Mr. International Worldwide.
I'm going on that website right after. And one question. Yeah. Obviously, you're coaching UFC gym, passing on your knowledge to other students and teaching them what you know, which you know a lot. So you can do a lot for these great kids who want to get into the sport.
It's fine.
Crane Mass, going to be in a movie. If you don't fight Dada 5000, are you going to call it a day and just stick to coaching, or do you want to fight again?
You know what? I need that money. And let's face it. Back in the day, when y'all see all them damn belts I got, 7 are missing from that. That's another funny story. And they weren't – listen, the UFC – the people think the UFC is cheap now. They were – whoa. I'm talking like Blue Light Special. I'm like, what the hell? I was making more money knocking cats out in the underground fight circuit, which I used to do. But that's another story. So it's nuts because I've been, like, when I do interviews, I always tell people 773-698-2224. That's the cell phone number. First name, last name, text. And then you tell me if you want personal training. And I have two seminars, Iowa, October 1st through 3rd. I think that's the date. And then November as well in Illinois, somewhere in the boondocks, Fairbury, Illinois. And this whole Dada 5000, I'm sick of them calling me and then don't respond to a contract because they know, you see these gray whiskers right here? I am a granddad. I'm a granddad. I have a 3-year-old daughter and a 1.5-year-old grandchild.
Good Lord.
And I'm not even using testosterone boosters, TRT or HGH yet. I'm like, shit. I only give women close fist bumps. I don't hug nobody, especially Eastern European women. No damn way.
Smart. Mm-mm. Smart.
Because they all get big booties. People and brothers don't know that. Them damn, that shit's nuts. And you can't be walking around in booty shorts around my house and you end up pregnant.
You end up pregnant.
Yeah. Even though my baby mama, she hates me. I'm like, look at Leilani. I have a true story because I'm always deviating. Y'all know how I am. That's why people love interviewing. So, my three baby mamas, my daughter, my oldest child, she's black. She was a calculus tutor, but she smoked a lot of weed, and I had to get away from her. But that was before marijuana was legal, and I was in the Marines.
Right.
She's 27. I have two sons, 19 and 15. They're both taller than me. What the fuck? The tall one wants to be a reverend. The other one is, he's a freshman in high school. No bullshit. This boy told me, I said, let me help you with your homework, e-learning, right? He said, yeah, I'm working on engineering. I said, keep it moving. Keep it moving. I said, your dad talks Latin anatomy, jujitsu, karate, judo, catch wrestling, Greco-Roman, boxing, anything but that. I said, covalent bonding of a molecular substrate of a molecule. Yeah. Engineering, get the hell away from me. So my daughter, my three-year-old daughter, she's no joke, Negro mania. That's what she is.
What was that? What is she?
Negro mania. She's Romanian. Her mama from Romania, like from Dracula land.
I know Romania.
Right. I didn't know Romania only had big booties like that. I knew about Hungary. But I was like, really? I heard about Albania. I heard about Hungary. Because I knew travel. I've used the 5 passports. But that's why they call me. That's one of 2 reasons why they call me Mr. International. The passports and most of my ex-girlfriends are from not here. And the Bulgarians. Oh, my God. Her name is Lilia Herstova. She's an ex-girlfriend.
Right.
She looks like Angelina Jolie with tits and ass. No bullshit. And she was in her early 20s and I was dating her in my early 40s. That's another story. That's another story.
You have more notches on your belt than the entire Gap clothing line. You know what I'm saying, brother?
It's crazy. So I'm over here in Chicago by Midway Airport now in a white Chicago cop's house because he's like my homie. He's like, George and I go back. I won't ever say his last name. George, I call him St. George. Let me explain.
Please.
I'll hide the body. That's how tight we are. That's my buddy George. He's a cop. I have the key to his house, the key to his Subaru, the key code to get in his house where I am right now in my other space of living because I don't like arguing with my Romanian baby mama. And people always talking bad about police. Well, I told George one day we were walking down the street going to jump on the train, the L. I said, George, you don't realize there are a bunch of black folks looking at you and me. I said, we make great for international and racial relations here in Chicago. He was like, shut up. I'm always making them jokes. I always say that. I said, I even told, okay, I was a training manager for LA Fitness. Right. And one day my karate instructor came to my job. And he's like one of them real, he's now retired, but he's in real cops. He's Japanese and Hawaiian. He was a cop for 30 years. And he was that dude that always walked around in his uniform with his gun. And so he don't, you know, he typed, you know, he don't let you know who he is. He just walk in. So they were, he walked in and he's like, I need, he's like, he getting it. I need to talk to you. I'm like, all right, I'll be right there. The police people were like, what the fuck? I said, he said, we got to go right now. The general manager of the health club, the district manager, they were there. And they're like, what did you do? I said, oh, no. I'm black. I get to sit in the front seat now. And they were like, what? I said, I sit in the passenger seat. I'm not allowed to drive. They were like, are you shitting me? I'm like, you know, and the operations manager, there's always tears of manager. And so I said, come on downstairs. I said, Sean, let's go. I said, let's roll up out of here. So we get on the elevator, seven floors up in a mall. And he's like, why is he with us? I'm trying to prove to him that I'm not getting in the back seat. And so they said, I get fired if I get in the back seat. And he's looking like a Japanese RoboCop with his SWAT shit on. And that gun is way too fucking big for anybody. Like you go hunting boars or elephants with it.
Exactly.
So I'm like, Sean, do you mind? Can I show him your weapon? You mind showing him your weapon? Nope. Not even half a fucking second went out. He and pulls it out. This manager about shit himself.
Probably.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I know. So he handed it to me, and I said, look, see, this is a hammerless. This is a flash suppressor. This is a hammerless recoil. Right here, and he has an extended clip that carries the extra two rounds. I said, I handed back to my instructor. He reholsters, and they were like, "What?" They're like, "What the fuck?" I said, "Oh damn, shit! I left my house keys. I'll be right back. We ain't got time for this. I gotta go get my keys. I'm gonna be fucked up. I gotta get a ride back." So the managers, they like, "Are you?" So he said, "You got 3 minutes." No bullshit. So we go up the elevator slow as fuck. They were like, are you a cop? No, that dude, the dude in the front seat of the cruiser, he was in my spot, but that's a district attorney. And the other guy in the back you saw, that was a naval, that's a SEAL Team 6 operator. I got to go work out with them. They're like, wait, what the fuck are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I'm a Marine. And see what had happened was, because I do MMA, and yeah, cause see what had happened. The dudes from Black Hawk Down are in town, and I'm working with them, and I gotta go early. This is some shit you can't even make up. So everybody's like, "What the fuck?" Plus, so I ran them office, grabbed my keys. I explained on Monday. See y'all later. You gotta work Saturday. I'm sick. I gotta call off. I don't feel well. So I run seven flights down to get in the car, the cruiser, and you know, going on. Yeah. Till Monday, everybody's looking at me. The regional manager apparently got the memo. No bullshit.
Oh fuck.
Right. So I'm like, bam, what's up, Mark? How you doing? And I'm like, hey Lonnie, what's cracking, dude? And I say, and I'm like hollering at everybody, like, man, we got a meeting today. What's up? Ain't no other personal training manager here. We need to talk to you. I'm like, oh yeah, what's up? I got a busy morning. Y'all can't be holding me up trying to make a sale. Bam. Yeah. They were like, we heard about what happened Friday. I'm like, oh yeah, that's my instructor. And the district attorney and a naval operator. What's up? They were like, who are you? Because the regional manager made a special trip. You never see a regional manager, right?
I'm Tony Carter, baby. That's what he just said. I'm Tony Carter. I do what I want. Right.
No, here, this was the funny part. So them old LA Fitnesses were Valley Health Clubs. I painted my own office. You're not supposed to paint your own office. They have unions for that. So I painted my own office. Then you have to imagine, if you've been in a health club, you know this, everything is crisp and pristine. I have pictures on the wall. Like Carmen Electra and me, but that's another story. Don't ask me about it. Then there's Kazmaier. Then there's like Kenny Mundy or Kevin Jackson from when I was at the Olympic Training Center. Different story. Right. Don't ask me. So then you see a picture of me on the Pyramid of Giza. They're like, what the fuck are you? What is that? That's the Pyramid of Giza in Cairo, Egypt. But that was an export. I said, boss, there's too much to explain. They're like, you're not supposed to be in the pyramids. I know. How'd you get the country? That's a different story. What are y'all talking to me about? Why a naval? And so the one guy was like, I was in the Navy. Why was a Navy SEAL here? Oh, because, you know, I work out and train with them. You train Navy SEALs? Fuck no. I said, no, that ain't what I do. I show judo and this other shit called Greek pancration. That's their fighting style from the movie 300. I'm a master instructor in Greek Olympic gladiatorial combat.
Right.
And they were like, wait, what? I said, oh, yeah, y'all hired me because I was in the UFC. See, and I'm trying to explain to Mark, the regional and the district manager. I said, oh, okay, so I'm a rifle expert in the Marines. I can score a headshot from 500 yards without a scope. And they're like, wait, what? I can kill you from 5 football fields away, but that's no big deal because I don't carry a gun. I said, I'd rather stick my thumb in your trachea and push down your kyphoid and crush it and break the diaphyseal membrane and make you choke on you.
That's a Widowmaker. Oh,
that came up. That's hilarious because I had the picture of me knocking out Matt Serum with the spinning back fist. They were like, why are there pictures on your office wall? That's how I got 70 clients in the gym, because that's what happened, because I put pictures on the wall to teach them, to show people that I'm not just a, you know, I'm not just a tight shirt guy. This is what I do. And so the whole shit show was about 30, 45 minutes of me saying, see what had happened was. And so it's been like this my whole life. So they said, okay, just do what you do. Just don't hurt anybody. I said, oh, no, fuck no. I said, because Chuck Norris wasn't like that. And it was like, come on. I'm like, what? You know Chuck Norris? I said, no, Chuck Norris knows me. Because I'm in the Hall of Fame of martial arts with Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee and Michael Jai White and Wesley Snipes. And they were like, bullshit. And I point to my, I have a, like a little cute little plaque they give us. And so it's sitting up against the file cabinet, but it was laying down. I said, see right here. Bam, right here. USA Action Martial Arts. And they're like, out of Mark's mouth, he's like, who the fuck are you? And I'm like, I'm John.
See, to the uninitiated, Shoney, like, and I grew up watching you. So, like, and
that's
and
hilarious. Like,
yeah, and I can't believe, like, they didn't know you. Because, like, again, I grew up watching you run Ultimate Fighter everywhere.
No, this is a hilarity because most corporations, like health clubs, they no matter who they hire, they don't ever want an employee to be bigger than the company. Like how they get, you know how they extricated Randy Couture out of the UFC by bringing Brock Lesnar in?
Yeah.
Well, that's all Brock was designed to do. Because remember, Randy was wrecking everybody.
Exactly. With Tim Sylvia, so, killed him.
Dude, and literally Randy wanted more money. Mm-hmm. When I was on the show, The Ultimate Fighter, I brought so much to the fucking table. I know it. They didn't have to tell me. I knew why I was there. Anytime you watch The Ultimate Fighter, think about from what season are they on now? It's now called The Contender, I think.
Yeah,
it was like
it was like 30, yeah, right?
Right. So they didn't have numbers anymore. Think about this. Every contender show, Ultimate Fighter, is boring as fuck unless they have somebody to start shit.
Right.
My job, I knew they were not going to let me get a title fight against George St. Pierre.
Right.
And I knew it because I actually fucked up. Because what happened off camera was this. George was training for, he was there when, do you remember when he fought Matt Hughes?
Yeah. The first time or second time? Second time, yeah.
Okay, buckle up. This is some groundbreaking shit right here.
Fair.
Okay, y'all know me as Shoni Carter. Mm-hmm. But have you ever used Wikipedia on me?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I hooked you up.
Marion Bickham III.
Right.
Right.
Well, Shoni is my nickname. Carter is my mother's maiden. Okay. Going to Marion Bickham, Marion Bickham spanked Matt Hughes' ass in wrestling. I'm talking like 9-1. I beat his ass.
Yeah.
And so they even the coaches at Lincoln Tech, it was a junior college called, I forget the whole, Lincoln College. They when we had tournaments, dual meets or whatever, he never wrestled me again.
Right.
So in betwixt, I placed fourth in junior college and literally I went overseas representing the United States twice in the junior college level with D1 wrestlers.
Yeah.
Betwixt, I started taking judo. So I became really dangerous. I was trying to go try to make the Olympics in judo and Greco-Roman wrestling. I tore my ACL, but I placed fourth at the Olympic trials. And I'm explaining I'm explaining all of this to you. So I earned almost earned a black belt 6 months in judo. Because I wrecked the state championships, white belt to green, brown belt, and I placed second in the black belt division as a white belt. Now, speeding up ahead, Ultimate Fighter. GSP, Georgis, as I call him, or Gorgeous. Georgis had a fight coming up. And I said, oh, Pimpin, let me hook you up. I'm going to show you how to wreck his ass in 7 minutes. And we were the only ones. Remember, I jumped ship. I went to the blue team. To work out with them.
Yeah.
So Gorgeous worked out with me because they didn't want to work with me, which didn't make no sense because I wrecked the whole damn team.
That makes no sense.
Right. So literally I said, come on, let's do this fucker. Because that's how I talk to him. Even if you interview, he'll tell you this whole story. So I showed him a throw called Tai Toshi and Harai Goshi. Y'all saw Caro, you saw Ronda do it, but I did it before both of them. UFC 22, I threw Brad Gumm 13 times in a two-round fight.
God damn.
So, literally, and it's, you can look on the fight pass, it's all right there. So, essentially, I said, let me show you, he's a sucker for this. And he was like, what? I said, come on, knuckle up, fucker. Try to take me down. I said, well, shoot the double leg. You don't know judo, Greco-Roman. Shoot the double leg, I dare you. So, literally, George did what George does athletically. I stopped his shot. I jacked him up, and I threw him with a Harai Goshi. But I held onto the arm, and I stepped over his head, and I didn't fall back with the arm. I had him in an arm bar, and I let go. He's like, what is this? And this is why that clip, I can't believe there are people like you. That's what George said on the show and on YouTube. Yeah. It wasn't just me walking, teaching how to walk like a pimp. I said, come on, let me show you this thing called Tai Toshi. And I threw him again. They were filming. UFC was filming. And I didn't think about it because I'm just getting the giggles of working out with George. Because we homies, you know, I knew I wasn't going to fight him. And I told him, dude, they ain't going to let me fight you. Get the fuck out of here. And I said it with the microphone on because no fucks were given.
Yeah.
So literally, I said, now throw me. He said, well, I said, do what I just did, fucker. Literally. He is a dry sponge. He learned those throws in 7 minutes, period. And I said, okay, knuckle up. Now we're going to do a bare knuckle. And he's like, show me. I said, shut up. Quit being strange. So We started doing Kyokushin style bare knuckle knockdown karate, punches to the body and kicks to the legs and no punch to the, and literally they were like, I forget the Andrea Richter. She was an EP on the show. She comes running from wherever the fuck they were hiding in that booth, looking at us. Stop, stop, stop. I'm like, what? They were like, you're going to get hurt. I'm like, no, the fuck I'm not. I said, all right, umamento. And so literally I said, Georgis. I said, Kyosuke, no me emotion there, us. And I bowed to him, and we bowed to each other. And he walked out. They were like, what was that? So I was just speaking to him in Japanese. He's a karate guy, and I do karate too.
Yeah.
Because we were doing kicks to the body and kicks to the legs. And then after that, we shit showered and shaved. And that's when, because remember, I already beat Rich Clemente, and I was right. out of shape. I didn't even train going into the Ultimate Fight. I'm going to kick y'all's ass out of shape.
You don't got out of shape. You don't got out of shape at all.
Well, no, when I was on the show, I promise you, I was partying the night before. it was not until, because they selected me to go first because they thought they was going to eliminate me. Because yeah. I was the Wiley, even then I was the Wiley Cat veteran with the most amount of fights. They wanted to get me out the way to maintain control of the selection. Out of shape, if you don't know Yoko Otoshi or Uki Goshi or a lateral drop, or don't clinch with a Greco-Roman wrestler who flipped to MMA, that's a you problem. And that's what happened. And so when Georges, George, GSP, fought Matt, what did he use? He used a low kick and he went up high and he threw Matt to an armbar. I showed GSP that. That's why.
Crazy.
And it's crazy because even then I knew they were not going to let me fight him because I knew I was also plotting. That's my dog, but I was still plotting. I wanted to feel what it was like for George to shoot on me. I knew I could stop his takedown.
Yeah.
Literally. When they saw us going, we weren't moving around. We was fighting. If you only ever seen Nick Bare Knuckle Karate, that shit's on YouTube, you'll freak the fuck out. And I'm going to tell you that Bare Knuckle Knockdown Karate is way harder than MMA. That shit hurts. Even when you win, you want two Viking and a shot of Grey Goose. I promise, because that's what I've done before. I won an 8-man tournament. I've won a few of them doing that, but that's just me doing Wildcat shit. But it's been nuts the whole time from the UFC years to fighting and competing, winning and losing. Now I'm back in the UFC gym. This is the second, missing a second round at UFC gym.
Right.
And so now, just like there's a young lady named Michaela Soto. She's the IFBB pro body women's bodybuilder, physique. I forget what it is. Sexiest. And I got the thing for her, but I know I'm pretty sure she's taken. I can't remember, but
probably the good ones always are.
Oh my God. I'm sick of Brazil. I'm sick of Ecuador. I'm sick of bodybuilding women. I'm sick of the thoughts on Instagram because they never in Chicago.
But I do have a question for you. I have a question for you. And going back to the Ultimate Fighter, because you were in the Ultimate Fighter when they were investing so much money into Matt Hughes. Like Matt Hughes fought Hoist Gracie, which was just to pass the torch. Like they were investing a lot of money in Matt Hughes and then George St. Pierre. And I never realized why, because you fought in Pancras, you were on Tough, you had a tremendous legacy, and you knocked out Matt Serra, who beat George St. Pierre. Why you never fought in Pride? That's a
funny story too.
Huh? Yeah, why you never fought in Pride? Because they would have loved you in Pride.
Oh, buckle up. Ooh, y'all just never understand what you're about to get.
Please.
Before the UFC buyout, buckle up.
Okay.
I signed with Pride. One week before it was announced, the UFC had bought Pride.
Yeah.
That money that they were going to throw at me would have changed my entire life and hustle.
No shit.
when they absorbed the pride, they did not honor my contract. Then when that all happened, that was what was that? 2007.
The purchase. 2007.
Yeah, something like that. I actually applied to be a Chicago cop.
Wow.
Before the Ultimate Fighter, I signed the Pride contract around that, right? I'm trying to remember when it was I signed. When they bought Pride, the letter of acceptance to the Chicago police and the UFC contract came the same day in the mail. No bullshit.
Wow.
And literally, I was like, do I take the job as a cop or do I try to go after this dream?
Right.
And well, we know what I did.
Yeah.
I tell everybody, I'm like, man, it was nuts because it was so much that could have happened with me. Look at Conor McGregor.
Right.
Okay, he's rowdy. I get it. He wears suits. I get it. I got a closet right now from suits from 2006 that I've never worn. I actually paint pictures. I talk shit. I do sculpture. I do art. I have multiple black belts. I've done movies. I'm in the movie Divergent. I wouldn't lie about being cast in a movie with 50 Cent. You just can't make that shit up. Right. Only I can make it up is saying, yeah, I'm about to go do a track with Jay-Z. But no, that's not true. I mean, I brought so much to the table when those contracts and then the acceptance letter to the Chicago police. And then when they found that when I said that I beat Matt Hughes on camera, y'all didn't see that. Right. It was so much footage on the cutting room floor.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
But they had even so much money behind Matt Hughes. They had so much money behind Matt Hughes, they couldn't afford you saying like one of the competitors actually beat up Matt Hughes. They couldn't do that from a business standpoint.
Yeah, they knew. Yeah, because I would have.
Because
even on the show, when Matt showed up, I even checked his ass because he had said something derogatory to Dean Thomas, and we were in a Japanese restaurant. And if you ever talk to Dean, he'd tell you the same story. I said, Matthew, you're talking out your mouth the wrong damn way. Don't get fucked up.
Right.
And he was like, I don't think so. I said, look, do you want Miriam Bickham to whoop your ass again? And he looked at me. I'm like, yeah, that's right. And everybody was like, you know, they go, ooh. I said, yeah. And they were like, what are you talking about? I said, ask Matthew.
And that was back in the day when Matt Hughes was the cockiest guy ever. Like that, right. And that tragedy that happened, you know, I'm so glad he survived it. But like back in the day, even during the UFC documentary, he was not a nice guy, especially to his opponents. He was kind of a dick.
Almost whooped his ass in Atlantic City. His manager at the time was Monty Cox. And Monty was all types of strain because he managed me as well. Conflict of interest. So we were, I think it was a Matt Serra fight leading up to it. Literally, they were all sitting there eating. And I happened to walk up on Pat Miletich because I fought him twice.
And so
I was, and I had, that's when the UFC first came out with trading cards.
Right.
I have the original trading cards.
Right.
So, everybody I'd asked to sign them would sign them. So I you know, I'm trying to be cool. Matthew, I said, hey, Matt, you want to sign my card for me? And he took it. And he looked right at me in the eye and ripped it in half. And I jumped across the table. I was going to knock his ass out. Pat Miletich and Monty Cox jumped up and grabbed me. Midair. I said, motherfucker, there's going to come a day. And you better hope to God that you got some good shit in you.
Shoni, I don't mean to cut you off, but when Pat Miletich lost to Carlos Newton, and Carlos Newton was the UFC champion. They most certainly should have made that fight between you and Carlos Newton. And I don't know why they never fucking did that. I don't know why. That would have been a money fight. Two entertaining guys, money.
I'm gonna keep you. I'm gonna keep you informed on what went down.
Oh, please.
They now, mind you, I'm Shoni Carter, Mr. International. I can't make this shit up.
One and only. Amen.
They didn't want two of them.
What do you mean?
Analytics. They did not like the fact that Carlos beat Pat. If you had been backstage and heard the shit that was being said.
Why not? Carlos Uno was a very marketable guy. Like, he was on the flyers when they had Karma Electra, and like, he's a marketable guy. Yeah.
He was weird as fuck, too. I fought his ass, but he was weird.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm going to give you some more insight. Okay, I fought Carlos in Montreal.
Yeah.
And so they were chomping and chewing at the bit at the W1. The organization was W1. And so I'll never forget it. From the airport pickup, there was this guy who was a physicist, an astrophysicist. And I said, you know, I'm talking to you coming from the airport. I want to know what's going on with you. So this guy was an astrophysicist. I was like, who the fuck? I said, are you the promoter? He's like, no, that's Gerald. I'm like, who the fuck is Gerald? I said, you're an astrophysicist. How you got a boss? I said, what does Gerald do? What the fuck does he do? Oh, he's a plumber. I said, is Gerald one of Mario Brothers from Donkey Kong? I said, got a fucking plumber, got an astrophysicist as an assistant.
What the fuck?
Right. So we get there, and I'm just looking at Gerald. Nice guy. Nice guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, we hemming and hawing through the week. Carlos finally shows up to the fucking pre-fight meeting and all this bullshit. And he wouldn't step, like, you know, not the way in, but that pre-check.
Yeah.
I'm in my little Donna Karens. I'm ready. And so I go step on, I'm like a pound or two over, but it don't matter.
Right.
So Carlos disappears. I'm like, what the fuck? Whatever, I don't get no fuck.
Yeah.
The weigh-ins. He was a no-show.
Dragon Ball Z Jiu-Jitsu, like, man. Dragon Ball Z Jiu-Jitsu, that was his style, remember? Like, it must have been part of the style.
Like, what the fuck? So, I'm saying, y'all better handle this shit. I'm going to go get some meat. So, you know, the cameras, everybody's there, press conference, everything. And so I say, everybody, I'm gonna talk ordinarily, but I'm gonna go get some meat because this motherfucker ain't here.
Right.
So literally, it gets late at night, but I'm in Canada. I don't get no fuck. I get on the door. I'm like, yeah, who the fuck? I ain't cursing. I'm like, who the hell is this? It's Gerald. I'm like, oh, what's up? What's up? Can I talk to you? I'm like, yeah, cool. What you got, boss? Well, Carlos is having problems making weight. And we really don't want you to cancel this fight. I'm like, I'm in Montreal, fucking Quebec, Canada. I need that money, pimping. And so I said, I tell you what. What's the problem? And so he was like, well, he's still away. I said, that's the situation. A situation's a problem. Two different things. Sound different, spell different.
Right.
And so I said, what the problem is? Carlos is 11 pounds overweight. Jesus, I'm like, Christ. I said, are you fucking kidding me?
Was this before Bakaraba in Pride? Was this before or after?
This is after Pride. So I'm like, I said, damn near doctor, Carlos Nunes is 11 pounds overweight. What the fuck? I said, I tell you what, I don't give a fuck about that percentage of the purse. That money's already spent. I said, how much does he get? I forget, he was making more than me. Hometown, I get it. I said, I need that percentage to go up a few points. The fight goes on, and the title belt is still on the line.
Right.
And they were like, Bushoni. I'm like, The belt is still up for grabs. I don't give no fuck about his overweight problem.
Right.
That's well, some strings, that belt on the line.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm a belt. I'm a belt holder.
I know you so are. They were like,
so, literally, the day of the fight and out, the show was, you know, about ready to go on. He comes in with his sweats and he's late coming to the, you know, we get there at 5 o'clock, but the other fighters come in early.
Right.
This motherfucker was 5 more pounds. He was 16 pounds overweight.
What the fuck? Are you kidding?
Right. So I said, you know what, motherfucker? I need that percentage to go up a little bit more. Fight gonna happen.
Gotta get that money, Shawnee. Gotta get that money.
So the fight goes on. He gets a unanimous decision, even though I did all the throwing and punching and kicking.
Right.
And then the motherfucker got the belt. He won. Post-fight conference, he was talking about I was greasy.
Oh, my God.
Like, motherfucker, nobody complains when you win.
Exactly.
I said, you got the home cooking award, attaboy, good job award with the belt. You show up a 16 pounds overweight for a 170 pound fight. And you're going to complain that you couldn't submit me.
It's fucking crazy, man.
Nuts.
Unfucking. But you've accomplished so much, though. Like, and, you know, that's a sparkle of what you've done and what you accomplished. And we are running out of time, though. But I do have one more question for you. Again, sure. I grew up watching you. You're one of my childhood heroes. I watched you on television, played as you on UFC Sudden Impact on PlayStation 2. Played as you. Yep. You know, like, you've done so many incredible things. But is there an opponent, past, present, you know, somebody that you wish you fought, somebody that you would want to fight? You know, who would be your opponent or who would you want to fight?
The Tale of Two Matts. I want the trilogy of Matt Serra, or too bad Matt Hughes is out of the equation.
Right.
Because literally, that's what I say, the Tale of Two Matts. Because, like, the first fight with Pat Miletich, that was home cooking. He legitimately beat me in the UFC, but they stopped it way too damn early. But whatevs.
Right.
So, literally, I would like to say Matt Serra and Matt Hughes.
Very cool. So, you know, Mr. International Worldwide.com, you can buy all your products. I want to buy one of your masks. I definitely want to, you know, stay protected during COVID. But anything you want to plug, anything you want to promote, I got to get to Chicago and train with you and, like, pick your brain a little bit. But, like, you know, the floor is yours, my friend.
All right. So I'm at the Yorktown UFC gym. And they're training with me there. Now, if you're in Chicago, you can call me at 773-698-2224. And you can book a training session with me or buy training sessions with somebody. I travel to you, $90 an hour, all right, which I'm only $11 more than the going rate in Chicago.
Yep.
But, you know, you buy sessions in groups of 4, 8, 12, 16, and 20. Right. And most people buy 12 because I do need about a month or two to get results. Because right now I go live when I'm teaching judo and kickboxing. So
correct.
I travel to people's houses around Chicago. I'm right by Midway. And I would show up in the front yard of George's house. I go to Apex. I teach at Apex House of Grappling, 51 East Plainfield Road in Countryside, Illinois. I can train you at Chicago Fitness Center, 3131 North Lincoln Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Facebook.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, again, you're one of my idols, one of my heroes growing up.
Mr. International Worldwide. I forgot about that.
Hell yeah. And we got to get you back on the show. I need a full episode to talk. I have a bunch of other questions, but, you know, I'll save that for another episode. We got to get you back on, my friend. absolute fucking honor talking to you, Shoni Carter. I thank you so much for finally coming on the show. It's absolute honor. Truly a pleasure. Thank you so much, Shoni.
All right, take care.
You too, brother. We finally got him on, baby. Oh, I'm so fucking happy. This is one of my heroes. That's like one of my childhood heroes. Holy shit, man. Holy fuck. I am happy. I'm a happy guy right now.
Yeah, I was going to try to just sneak him on, but he was still having problems, obviously, on whatever phone he was using. So
I'm fucking psyched right now. I'm wired for sound right now. I'm so excited. Holy shit.
We weren't able to get Mike and Kevin on. I haven't got any response for them, but I'm sure we'll reschedule them, get them back on here.
One of the fighters, Mr. Rodriguez, he's coming off a controversial loss. Obviously, you know, excuse me, guys. Focus on training. Focus on his next fight. Completely understand. It was cool that he was going to come on the show.
Yeah, I was looking forward to talking to him about it because that's devastating.
Yeah, that's an absolutely fucking devastating loss, and I wouldn't want to talk about
it. I don't know if you watched the whole thing, but man, he took him to task the whole time, and then it was like two fights. It was like he beat him the first fight, and then Ed came back the second fight.
And I talked about that with somebody, and somebody was like, "Well, you're really going to talk to him after that battle, after that controversial loss, and that sucks." And nobody wants to talk about that. And the inevitable was we're going to talk about that. So I completely understand.
If it was me, I would want to talk about it because I'd want to vent. Me personally.
If it was me, I would be pissed off and just want to train some more. So I completely understand. And Mike Broom, he's coming off a big win, big payday, 48-hour notice, beat someone in 34 seconds.
He was the underdog, heavily underdog, right?
Yeah, and he came off a big win. You know, his life changed within 48 hours. So he's riding high. He wants to continue the momentum. And for him to even consider taking time with us, he shared my Instagram post. He's a great guy. Super cool dude. Yeah,
I'm sure something just came up where he couldn't get to it. So
and we're on East – I'm on East Coast, so obviously, you know, shit happens. So we forgive you guys.
Usually I do a better job of reminding these guys, but I was in the middle of flying to Kansas, so I couldn't really do as much as I usually do to keep him on track. But.
Yeah, and you've been a busy cat. You've been an absolute busy cat. And, so what's going on for next Thursday? This is it. This was the best show ever. I got to talk to Gabe and nerd out. I got to talk to Shoni and nerd out. Dude, this went from 6 to midnight. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yo, it was a fucking incredible show. Oh, my God. Amazing. What do we got next week, baby?
Don't call me baby, but let me see. So on the girls' show, Wednesday, we got Alicia Zapatella. So she's pretty badass. And then if everything pans out, we got Don Fry coming on next week.
So. Don Fry.
I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Don Fry.
So Don Fry, and let me explain to you guys. Let me explain to you nerds, okay? Don Fry is an MMA fucking legend, pioneer. He wrestled for New Japan Pro Wrestling, fought for Pride in some of the most iconic bouts. His one bout where he's punching a guy over and over again, I don't know if you guys ever saw that. He fought against Takamura. That was a Japanese pro wrestler. Incredible fight. He's a fucking pioneer, and he fought in a battle with Ken Shamrock. We're going to talk to him about that. I'm going to ask him a bunch of questions, so I'm going to nerd out when it comes to Don Fry. I have plenty of questions for Don Fry. If you thought my interview with Ken Shamrock was very, very nerdy, you have seen nothing yet when Don Fry comes on the show, because I got a bunch of questions for that guy. That guy's a legend, and I can't wait to talk to
Ken,
him.
I know Ken asked, said he wants to come back on, so we mustn't have been too horrible of a show.
We're good hosts. What can I say? We're good hosts. We know our shit. It happens.
Well, good problem to have. Know your shit, and I'm just.
I think we just dropped Matt. Oh, is he coming back? Holy shit, he's coming back. What are you saying?
I don't know. My internet's acting weird. We got BKFC the following week on Thursday, the 8th. We'll have Joe Elmore and Nate Shook, the matchmaker. Joe Elmore fought Tom. I don't know if you know too much about BKFC, but it was a good fight. BKFC 12 in Daytona was I'm just really enjoying bare knuckle fighting.
And you got press passes. You got in there in Florida. I'm gonna be flying down when I film the movie with Justin. Yeah,
next BKFC, you need to come down here.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be the after parties. You have not been to an after party. You go to an after party with me, because trust me, kid, stick with me. We're gonna have a good time.
I wasn't able to get to the after party. Justin Sims went. It was the Goat Shed guys had a big old after party. So that's like the new happening gym down in Miami.
Yeah. I love the CEO. Dave is a great guy. And can't wait to party with those guys. Can't wait to watch the fights personally. Again, I told Dave my misconceptions with BKFC and how I was able to overcome them. And, you know, I love the product. I love the sport. Not too much on top of it like I should be. But, like, you know, I've always been a mixed martial arts fan.
Got all sorts of different MMA, and now you're getting BKFC type and just bare knuckle in general going. So there's a lot to keep up on.
Right. And I'm strictly amateur. I'm pro when it comes to my knowledge. I'm a human Wikipedia when it comes to mixed martial arts and boxing. BKFC, not so much. So I apologize if I'm not up with my knowledge. I'm just learning about it. But great guest coming on. I can't wait to talk to him. Can't wait to talk further about BKFC. Very, very exciting. So gonna wrap up the show. Matt, producer, any last words, please?
Peace.
And short and sweet, just like you, sir. So thank you very much, boys and girls, all my bros and hoes in different area codes. Thank you so much for tuning into the Fight Mixer. Tune in on Wednesday for Ladies Night. Tune in on Thursday. We're going to have Don Fry on. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Fight Mixer podcast, we will see you later. Peace. I was going for my life. Holy shit.
100%. Hi, I'm Matt Seibel, producer of the Fight Mixer Show. We have a good lineup of guests coming up next week. Take a look for yourself.